We begin today with Rafah in Gaza, and out of the suffering of more than 1 million people displaced, we have some rare but welcome good news. You may remember hearing Dr. Salam Gharbia on this programme about 2 months ago. Dr. Gharbia is the head of the Department of Environmental Science at the Atlantic Technological University in Sligo. He's an Irish citizen, originally from Gaza. And when we spoke to him back in January, he told us about his parents and one of his sisters who were trapped in Rafah, living in the dire conditions that we've been seeing on our screens over the past few months. He was appealing to the Irish government to help him, an Irish citizen, to get his family out. Dr. Gharbia is currently in Cairo. I spoke to him a little while ago and he told me about that moment when he reunited with his family in the Egyptian capital.
Oh God, that was a huge relief. I couldn't believe it. You know, like at that night, you know, I was, normally the list like comes out 11 o'clock like in the evening Irish time. So I normally like be up and poaching the list, hoping that the names will be on it somehow. And that night, you know, the names weren't on it, so I went there like with the whole disappointment as usual. And then I got woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning by a phone call, like their names actually on the list. You know, starting by calling them, go to the border, but, you know, and all that kind of excitement about it, and all the time, you know, hoping that they're actually going to get through. The three of them. And then when they got through and I met them in Cairo, like, it was very emotional, you know, like, I think I stayed in my mom's arms, like, for 15 minutes, like, for the first while. It's a huge relief. And I really wish that everyone will be safe and, you know, this will stop soon, because what they've gone through and what the people in Gaza are going through is beyond imagination, as I said.
Where are your parents and your sister Zaina now?
Now they're in Cairo. They managed to cross the border and they're safe now. You know, they had to make their way through a crossing. Like, the whole process was long and stressful. You know, I've got very, very little news from them as they go through the process. But thank God, you know, they went through and they made it to Cairo.
And how are your parents? How are they looking? Because you explained that both of them were diabetics and they were running out of medication the last time we spoke. Are they keeping physically relatively well?
They're definitely not the same, you know, compared to, I know them, like, you know, emotionally and health-wise. Now, we've got them medical care, like, you know, in Cairo here. My mom needed a bit of medical attention for a day. But she's now good. Both of them got back onto, they got assist and they got back into a new medication. So things are being sorted out. You know, we've surrounded with very good friends over here. So everybody is trying to support and help, as well as like the circle of supports and help, like in Ireland, you know, surrounded with a lot of colleagues and friends who supported us during the whole process. And, you know, our fantastic PD, Ryan Harkin as well, all the time, he's great support in arranging things. So, you know, I've been blessed with a lot of support around here.
And how, the last time we spoke was in January, but how have conditions been in Rafah in recent weeks for them?
It's catastrophic. Like, it's kind of what's going on, like, in Rafah and in Gaza Strip is just, like, beyond what anybody would imagine. People are starving. It's a famine. Diseases are spread. You know, everybody getting sick. There's very little medication, very few medical care, kind of like clinics, like for honor while like operating, huge queues on them. It's beyond catastrophic. Like, I cannot really imagine like how difficult it is. It's just kind of, it's a disaster over there. And, you know, it's every day getting worse. And now with all the news about invading Rafah, you know, it will be a huge bloodshed, no doubt about it.
I know you're thinking of the people who are still in Rafah, but in advance of any offensive that's been spoken about, it must be an enormous relief to have your parents and your sister out before that happens.
Absolutely. You know, it's a huge relief, like, to get them out. Still, like, my two sisters and their kids, like, they're still in Gaza. Hopefully they're safe. You know, it's because it's, at the moment, it's a battle of surviving, like, every day. If you if somebody is not dying by bombing, it's getting sick. If it's not getting sick, it's by the famine. If it's not by the lack of food, it's by something else. It's very dark. Everybody is just kind of like feel hopeless in a way. And you cannot really kind of blame them for thinking, you know, in that dark way. It's just kind of, you've got nothing really to help.
In the short term, what's the plan now?
The plan is obviously, you know, they got out with very little paperwork. So we're working with the Palestinian embassy and with the Irish embassy here to get the Department of Foreign Affairs to get their paperwork completed. Once the paperwork is completed, they will join us in Ireland. Now it's getting more family out. Obviously, I would love to. It's just, you know, we've been trying like since the start of the war. It's not easy. I don't know. I can't locate them where they are at the moment. So it's kind of, it would be kind of again an impossible mission. For now, the focus is to get the three of them back with me to Ireland.
And how long is it since you've spoken to your other sister?
I did manage to speak to them just this week. Speak to somebody who knows where they are. So they're, as far as I know, the information that I got, they're safe. So hopefully, just hoping that the next time you hear of them or you hear from them, they're fine. There was a period where I didn't hear anything from them for 15 weeks or so. So it was kind of like very stressful. Well, I've got very good news this week that they're fine, you know, they're still there.
And that was Dr. Salam Gharbia, head of the Department of Environmental Science at the Atlantic Technological University in Sligo, originally from Gaza, an Irish citizen, reunited now with his parents and one of his sisters, speaking to me a little earlier. I want to introduce you to our political panel joining us this weekend. They're Fianna Fáil Senator Mary Fitzpatrick, Kathleen Funchin, Sinn Féin TD for Carlo Kilkenny and her party, spokesperson on children, equality and disability, and Marian Harkin, Independent TD for Sligo Leitrim, who joins us from our Sligo studio. Marian Harkin, firstly to you. You know Dr. Gharbia and you've been trying to help him. He did say in the course of the first draft of that interview that you had helped him. He also thanked the people more broadly of the Northwest. I'm sure you're happy for him in his situation today. What help were you able to give him?
Yeah, well, we are, because I suppose what Salam shows us is the human face of the catastrophe that's unfolding in Gaza, because he talks about his mother, his father, his sister, and those people become real to us, because otherwise they tend just to be statistics. So I was contacted by a colleague of Salem's quite a number of weeks back, and I've been working since with the Department of Foreign Affairs and officials, and I have to thank them because they always answer the phone, they always help, and they're very constrained in what they can do. And, you know, that's really appreciated, because all I could do was act as the link between Salem and his family and the Irish authorities. But that was very important to them. And I know other TDs are doing that for other families. And it is a piece of good news to know that some people have made it safely out, and please God, will be able to make it safely to Ireland, to Salem and his family here. But of course, the bigger picture at the moment is just absolutely shocking. We see that while Netanyahu is sending a delegation to Qatar, he at the same time has given a green light to attack Rafah. And I mean, there are about a million displaced people in that city. And it's beyond words at this stage what's going on. And in the bigger context, of course, we have Leo Varadkar in the US at the moment. And while he has raised the issues with Joe Biden, and I believe they're probably another meeting today, so far, while Joe Biden agrees with him that we need a ceasefire, he has not said that the US will cease sending military aid to Israel. And that's the bottom line here, because while Chuck Schumer, who's the majority leader in the Senate, has spoken out very strongly against Netanyahu. And to me, that was a very positive signal I would have hoped that that would have been followed up with further statements by US politicians to say that this has gone, it's gone beyond what any of us can even speak about. It is unspeakable at the moment. But yes, we have one good news story, and it shows the tenacity of the human spirit and Salem and his family. I was just a conduit for the messages, but I was so glad to do that and to be some small support to him.
Kathleen Funchen, you're aware of somebody in your area who is trying to get somebody out of Gaza. You've people who get visas to study. Is it in the Southeast Technological University, but are unable to take them up because of where they're trapped?
Yeah, so first of all, just to say, it's actually really difficult to listen to that interview because the emotion, you would be absolutely delighted that he's gotten some of his family out, but I think bittersweet are the words. But just to send, I suppose, our good wishes to him, but it just, it's so difficult. I agree with Marion. I struggle to find the words, but there is an amazing woman, Maram is her name, and she got a scholarship to study in the SETU, the Southeast Technological University in Carlow, and actually arrived here only about 10 days before the October 7th part of the war broke out. And since then, she's been trying to get her brother out, and the university have agreed to give him a scholarship as well, because obviously he was in the middle of studies, and that is obviously impossible at the moment, given that the university has been blown up, amongst other things. And she's in the process of trying to get him out. She's travelled to Egypt herself to do that. There is some progress in relation to the paperwork and the visas, but he hasn't managed to get out yet. And I suppose any awareness we can raise of that case, we really want to do that. And I know that there has been huge help from the Department of Foreign Affairs and stuff. But and also, can I just say to the Maram's own friends and network in Carlow that have been absolutely fantastic as well. But I suppose the situation in Gaza is absolutely horrific. I don't even think horrific describes it strong enough. It is a genocide. I think it's really important that we call it that. It is enforced starvation. And I think we've reached around 40,000 people now that have been killed. We absolutely need to see a ceasefire. We need to see all of our representatives who are in Washington, including our own representatives that are there as well, call very, very strongly for a ceasefire, call it out for what it is, which is a genocide, which I know Michelle O'Neill certainly did when she had the opportunity to talk with President Biden. And we know we need to see sanctions as well and accountability in relation to Israel and how they've acted and the war crimes that they're committing. And I think people feel really, really strongly about that here. And I think I would agree that the comments this week from Chuck Schumer was probably the first time we've seen any real positives coming from, I suppose, the political section. Well, there is a few people, to be fair, I suppose, that have raised it. And there is a very strong congresswoman who's Palestinian herself and has been very, very vocal on this. But
that's Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah. Thank you. I actually, her name escaped me there when I was in the middle of talking about it. So that is good. But I really felt that was potentially the start of something. I really hope that more pressure can be put this weekend on President Biden. The power that he has to, you know, obviously stop the military aid and potentially stop this whole situation. I think we need to bring that to bear on him as strongly as we can. Ceasefire, the aid getting in, but then we do need to see sanctions on Israel.
Mary Fitzpatrick, there are other Irish citizens trapped in Gaza. Zach Hania is one of them. The Taoiseach got the chance to raise the case of six Irish citizens who remain in Gaza as one of the issues he was raising this week. Do we know if Zach Hania was one of them? And do we know where that's at the moment?
Really heartbreaking to listen to Dr. Garbia there, and delighted for him and his family. But really, I suppose, thinking about all of those other families that you mentioned and their dependents. And the Taoiseach in the US is obviously pushing, and I would say the Taoiseach, everybody with an opportunity to raise the cases, to plead for a release of hostages, for a ceasefire, for sustained humanitarian aid, is doing that and must continue to do that. We have to be unrelenting in this. Yeah. It's a complete failure of humanity, what's happening in Gaza. It's you know, Kathleen, you say you can't find the words. It's really hard to articulate the horror, and it's heartbreaking to think about, you know, the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers, the human beings whose lives are destroyed. These people are being absolutely tortured, physically, mentally. It's beyond barbaric. I hope there is good news. I hope that Taoiseach can achieve results, that he can use our influence when he's in the States. There has to be some relief. There has to be more Dr. Garbias. You know, that we have to hear more of that hope and more of that chance of survival, and move to a point where we can start to move forward, where these people can start to just reclaim a bit of basic human reality.
Do we know if the Taoiseach got any response there? If there was any,
I don't know. I haven't heard anything on that.
Marian Harkin, we've heard, you know, that Mary Robinson make the call that the US needs to turn the tap off on military aid to Israel. But this round of the conflict began on October 7th with an attack that killed 1,200 Israelis. There's credible reports of sexual violence. There are still 120 Israeli hostages within Gaza itself. The US provides this weaponry on the basis that it's there to help Israel defend itself. It's a hard argument to make in the United States that Israel should be denied the means to defend itself when it's just suffered an attack like this within the last 6 months.
Look, Israel suffered a horrific attack, and everybody accepts that, and the deaths of all of those people and the hostages taken. Those stories are just as human and just as sad as all of the other stories we hear. But the power situation here is completely one-sided. Yeah. And the Americans can use their power. In fact, I was just reading an article by Sally Rooney in the papers today where she spoke of previous American presidents have been prepared to use their power. For example, back in 1980, Ronald Reagan criticised the illegal Israeli attacks in Iraq and Lebanon, and he restricted military assistance to Israel. George H.W. Bush used US aid as a bargaining chip in international negotiations.
Sure, and John Kerry, the Secretary of State, abstained at the Security Council when there was another one. But I suppose in the interests of communicating to people who support Israel in the United States that the Irish government acknowledges at least that the October 7th attacks had a massive and traumatic effect on Israel. Is that included in the remarks enough when calls for action are made?
I think the Irish government, to be fair to them, not all spokespersons here, but the Irish government have been very strong in recognising that this was the catalyst at this point in time. But what we're looking at now is collective punishment. Anybody who looks at this with any kind of an objective viewpoint has to see what's happening. And just one point, Colm, you know, we're always asking,
if you could. Thanks.
Yes, what can we do? The EU-Israel Trade Association Agreement is still in place. Six independents wrote to the Commission last November to make sure that the Commission would look at this and suspend this trade agreement. Yeah. It's still in place. Those are actually actions that we can take. And when I raised that issue in the Dáil with the minister in question, I was told that this was not possible and it wasn't the right way to go. I think the government have now changed their view on this, but there are things we can do.
Okay. Kathleen Funchen, I mean, the word genocide has been used by parties across the political spectrum about this, by individual TDs, about what's going on in Gaza at the moment. The scale of it is clearly undeniable, but the intent of the October 7th attacks, with indiscriminate attacks on civilian children, older people being killed as well, the intent of that was surely genocidal as well.
So, first of all, everybody has been unanimous in condemning what happened on October 7th. We do know, however, the situation in Palestine is not just as a result of October 7th. This has been ongoing since the late 40s, since the late 1940s. And whatever anyone might say in relation to that, we have a situation now where people who are trying to access food are being shot at, where there is no aid being allowed in, where the the absolutely ridiculous situation of trying to airdrop in food from the same body that's funding the military aid that's actually creating the situation is absolutely ridiculous. I don't think there is any justification for the level of killings.
Sure,
that
but
we
would
see.
You acknowledge that the people who were killed in southern Israel, the civilians, men, women, children, older people, they were killed because they were Jews?
I would acknowledge that attack was completely wrong, 100%, and condemn it. But what we've seen since is not justifiable.
Would you draw short of calling it genocide?
I don't think you can compare it to what we're seeing at the moment in Palestine. I think the amount of people, the amount of children that have been killed, the amount of people that are denied to leave the country. We've seen people are waiting for names on a list. People are not allowed in. Journalists don't seem to be able to get into Palestine. There is a list of what I would deem war crimes in relation to attacking hospitals, in relation to attacking people trying to access food.
All right, Mary
Fitzpatrick. So I don't think that you could compare. I think that it was absolutely horrific.
No, not on the scale, but in terms of the intent of what happened on that time, would you apply?
I totally agree that what happened on October 7th was wrong, unacceptable, and particularly when we saw kids and everything being targets and taken hostage, 100%, nobody could stand over that. But what we've seen since is not justifiable either, and I don't think we can call it self-defence when 40,000 people have lost their lives.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.